Today on Good Stuff, we talk about the special limited edition alien Oreos, as well as a bunch of conspiracy theories the government doesn't want you to know. Hello and welcome to Good Stuff, the alien podcast, starring me, Zogbert, the totally not alien, normal human man. I don't have tentacles. Why would you assume such things? These are my normal human hands, and with which I speak out of my normal mouth, and not an orifice that has a different name than mouth. That would be a weird thing to say that I definitely did not imply or say. I am a normal human. I'm here with my normal human host, Nick.
That's what my friends call me.
That's what Nick is called by his friends
on my
his human friends on the normal human planet of Earth, with which there are no tentacle wars that have been raging on for a millennia that we are escaping from. That is the premise of this podcast. There is no other premise. It is nothing. There's no, don't suggest there's a cookie involved. Don't do it.
Nope. Curse the tentacle wars, though. Not that they exist or anything.
They definitely don't exist, and we are not refugees. Welcome to Good Stuff, the Oreo podcast. My name is Rob.
My name is Nick.
And we have a super limited edition Oreo, kind of. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah, I have a lot of things to say about all of this.
I have so many things to say, but there's a lot of backstory to this. But like, what would we describe these Oreos as, Nick? Because normally we say, hey, what are we reviewing today? And you're like, ah, this flavor. These are just called the offering?
Yep. Should I start with my expectations of what I was thinking we were getting?
Or yes. Should I?
All right.
No, so, wait, what was the other option? Wait a second.
Oh, wait, I was going to offer you like $1 million right now. I happen to find some.
Damn it.
Or I could just describe what it is.
Yeah. Well, describe your expectations.
All right.
No, I take that back for the third time. Describe the backstory of how we got these, because I think that's the most interesting part of everything here.
I would love to. So my work has been especially busy lately, and I don't get to check my phone all the time. So when I get a chance, you know, I all of a sudden I noticed that I had this message from you with a link to an article about some space Oreos. It's like, is this legit? Can you look into this? So, you know, I click the link, I look at it, whatever. I'm like, oh, it's a limited edition Oreo thing.
I got this, by the way, I got this from a friend of the show, Max Kreisky, who said this, you should look into this. And then I said, okay. And then I immediately forwarded it to you, but that's fine.
Well, thank you, Max. Cause that was really, it was a really exciting, like half an hour for me at work. because I clicked the link, I read the article, I'm like, oh shoot, they're selling them now. So I clicked through, I had to like register with Oreo. I think I had to create an account, so who knows what's going on with me.
I didn't know that.
So I did that, and then I'm like, all right, I'll pick up two, one for me, one for you. And then a third one for, you know, if we were gonna do a guest. And then I get like
We'll get to it. I'm glad we were like so excited to give this to a guest and be like,
yeah,
are you ready for the taste of aliens? I'm kind of glad we didn't give this to a guest, but you know, we review the Oreo at the end of the podcast, so we'll right. get there.
So what had happened was that it was a limit one sort of thing. So I could only put one in my cart. And since I already registered with them, I'm like, I don't have time on my phone to make alternate accounts and everything. So I texted you back, but I'm like, hey, can you get another one? And I don't know. I guess we lost each other. And then I saw, you know, friend of the show, Jared, in the hall. I'm like, hey, did you hear about this? Can you buy an extra one just in case? I'm like, I'll pay you back, whatever. It costs $3 for what it's worth, and you're only paying for the shipping, I guess, allegedly. However it works out. But he did it. I did it, and then Michelle was going to surprise me with it. And I started texting her later. I'm like, so I just got this thing, you know, so I just ordered this thing. So beware of that in the mail. And she's like, well, funny story. I was going to surprise you. So I ended up getting three of these.
Wow. Yeah. Which is perfect. Which is a perfect amount for a normal episode of Good Stuff with Rob and Nick.
Absolutely.
And so there's so much to talk about with this
I have one more detail about it that I just remembered.
Oh, okay.
They're super limited edition, right? I think only 3,000 were sold. And we got three of them.
0.1% of them.
Yeah. Which is kind of exciting in a silly little way.
Right? So. So. We get the package. I get the package from Nick. And it's like, whoa, this is really amazing. What an interesting thing. I got alien Oreos. Like, it's unclear what the flavor is. And like, Oreo has done mystery Oreo flavors before. Like, what are these going to be? And like, the package is like kind of interesting and weird. And it says like the offering and says, put a picture of, it says, put an Oreo in the center of it and put it in a bright open space or something. Nick actually has the package.
Yeah, I've got it right here. It says, place Oreo cookie in the center of pack within clear view of the sky to create your own # Oreo offering.
First of all, before I did that, I got home from work one day and found that someone who I live with, who, you know, it could have been a cat, but I don't think it was a cat, has eaten a few of them. Oh, and like
the aliens came.
The aliens came. And, you know, they were kind enough to have a little chip clip. They folded over the edge. They clipped it shut and tucked it away so that had I not inspected them, wouldn't have known until I would have needed to eat them. So somebody who occasionally listens to this episode and I live with, ate them before I fucking gave them permission, because these were rare Oreos. So I was a little annoyed.
Yeah. I, it's a good thing that we will never run into this person, because there might be a normal human person. Yeah. Totally normal human person. But, you know, there could be words, human words that could be said, but, you know.
Oh, there were. But so, and then I read the package that said, put this in the clear view of the sky. And like, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I genuinely don't know what I was expecting, but I was like really excited. I went out into my backyard. I like moved. There was like a little table outside. I moved it closer to like the opening, like an opening with which there was a clear view, you know, wasn't obscured by trees.
Yeah.
And I put an Oreo in the center and I stood there, and my fiance took pictures of me being like, fucking now what? Like, I don't know what else is supposed to happen.
They were good pictures. For what it's worth,
they'll end up on our Instagram, I'm sure.
That'd be a good idea. I don't know. When I was thinking about notes for the show, things that I wanted to talk about coming into this, one of the thoughts that I came up with was, I mean, was it poorly thought out and just a way to get people to pay even a small amount for cookies and just like brand recognition stuff? Or am I just like losing my fun? Like, am I not fun anymore?
Yeah, I don't. Because it was just like a special pack.
Yes, Nick, you're not.
And well, it was just like a special thing, right? Like,
yeah.
And And I was like, oh shit, there's gonna be an alien. There was like, they had like a picture of an Oreo crop circle. And I was like, hell yeah, an Oreo crop circle. This is an extremely cool thing that I'm into. And wait, like,
I live near a cornfield. Do I bring them out to the cornfield?
Wait, for real?
Yeah, yeah. I get fresh corn every year from it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a farm. Just like, I run a loop around my town, and within that loop is a farm. And there's a stable, and there's horses and stuff. I live far from the city, apparently, so.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. Like, I guess, part of the reasons I like the city is because, I mean, the one downside of the city is that you don't get to see the stars that much.
Yeah.
Speaking of alien shit.
Maybe that's they like, can't see the Oreos.
They can't see the Oreos. That's why I didn't get abducted.
Maybe I need to go in the cornfield. Maybe that's how they'll know. Okay. I mean, that might be a job for tonight or something. Sometime soon.
I mean, maybe. Do you?
All right. Vamp for a bit. I'll be right back.
Do you really think like the... Well, first of all, before I even get into the do you think aliens are real, do you fucking remember the if we all Naruto run Area 51, no one can stop us Facebook event? Like, do you remember that shit?
That both warmed my heart and terrified me at the same time.
Oh, it was so funny. It was one of the weirdest, greatest things ever. Like, if this podcast just becomes a record of two friends eating Oreos to pass the time during a pandemic. You know, I hope it records the things that we love the most. And one of them for me was that weird thing, because there was the, you know, there was a news report where someone like Naruto runned behind them towards Area 51.
Well, so I thought it was really funny, but then I also thought, like, aliens or not, running at a large group of people running at a military base, again, regardless of what's there, just seems ill-advised.
Yeah, but like also, what's the fucking military going to do? Kill us? Probably. But if we all do it, they can't kill us all. That's the whole premise.
That's one of those things I never want to find out.
Do you think like the Area 51... alien shit is real? Like, do you think that there's like, because like in terms of conspiracies, I feel like the government is lying about aliens being real is like fairly harmless, right? Like, the government doesn't want you to know that cell phones actually came from aliens is like, who cares? You know, if that's what they're lying about and that's what you feel passionate about, I'm glad that's your conspiracy, because there's people who think the earth is fucking flat and those people are fucking idiots. But if you think that like aliens are real,
agreed,
dude, that's awesome. Like, yeah. I'm so happy for you.
So I guess to answer the question of if there are aliens there or not, I'd say, look, it's unlikely, right? But
I don't know. Genuinely, I think there are probably intelligent life somewhere else. I just don't think any has visited Earth.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
Because life, as they say, finds a way. But it's an incredibly huge universe. The chances of life coming about even similarly to how it happened here, you know. With enough tries, it's probably happened. Even if it's not intelligent life, I'm sure there's life out there.
I mean, DNA isn't necessarily like a high energy state for molecules to exist in, right? Like, it doesn't take a lot of energy for your body to have DNA. Like, they have accidentally just like charged. They've put in effectively the right number of molecules in like a container and electrically charged it and generated nucleotides. Like, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Life will find a way because it's not necessarily that hard for it to find that way, which is crazy and brings up all sorts of, you know, fundamental universe questions. But also there's a physical chemistry answer to it, too.
You know, I think it's probably because of all the, you know, like the government, you know, declassifying certain, like, you know, unidentified, you know, flying object reports and stuff recently. That, like, there's been a lot of articles
happened recently, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So and I think as a result, there's been a lot of articles that have been kind of in that realm. And one of which was, and I thought, and if you want to get like real deep for a second, like someone was suggesting that, you know, what if the universe itself is conscious? And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, kind of
out there for me. Fucking but like new age medicine bullshit. Get out of here. We're talking about aliens.
Right. Well, if you want to be a little bit more poetic about it, what I did hear in the past that I kind of liked is that consciousness, like our own or whatever, is just the universe's way of observing itself.
Huh.
Because if you think about it, like, let's say life, you know, can spring up randomly in the right conditions and everything. And that there's just from components from the universe. Well, you know, it's just it's almost a feature of the universe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I get, like, it is a very poetic way to look at it. And I do understand the, like, it's, we as humans in general, man, this is a philosophical episode all of a sudden. We as humans are always try to attach meaning to things when sometimes there isn't any.
Sure. Like,
that's why conspiracy theories are such a thing.
Yeah.
Our brains are hardwired to find patterns when occasionally the universe is just random.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know, I don't think that there's a grand, like, maybe it sounds nihilistic, but like, I don't think that the universe is trying to look at itself or anything. I do sure. think that there is, there are some rules to how things work in the universe, and they are convenient in a way that somehow leads to life after long, long periods of time.
Yeah, because the universe has been here for a long time, like 13.8 billion years, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, one of the only reasons that, like, I don't know if you've ever watched the Kurtzget videos on YouTube. They're really good.
I like them. Yeah.
Yeah, because they'll sometimes have really nihilistic ones that are crazy. And this, like, German guy will be like, what would it be like if we accidentally launched a nuke at the sun? And everyone's like, I don't know, man. I'm high as hell. Let's find out. But they had a thing on, like, how big can a single cell organism be? And they've had several videos on it. Mm. And one of the only reasons, like, single cell organisms could exist is because of a property of how that size works in, like, a solution of fluids, right? Is that things can diffuse in and out. So, that's how it breathes.
Similarly, there is a very huge cell there's a species of very huge cells, if you will, that live, like, in the ocean. I forget how big they get. They're massive. Like, you can see them. They're maybe like the size of, like, a pea.
Well, do you know how many cells are in an egg yolk?
It's one.
It's exactly one. Like, that is a single cell that you can see. It is, you know, one cell is observable by the human eye in lots of places.
Yeah, this massive cell in the ocean. I'll look up how big it actually is and stuff. Like, it gets around the size limitations of normal cells by having a lot of surface area and a bunch of nuclei.
I'm going to try and say this. Calerpa taxifolia?
That's probably right.
Took me several tries.
It's the aquatic alga.
Yeah, holy crap. I'm looking at a picture of it online. Someone just has it in their fucking palm. Like,
yeah.
It is bananas. And effectively part of the reasons people can not part of the reasons, but is that these things breathe just by the, like, you know, osmosis is a thing and diffusion is a thing. And these cells don't need to exert any energy to breathe, basically. And so how do they evolve in a way that makes them not have to exert any energy to breathe, which we as several multi triple bazillion cellular organisms need to exert energy to breathe, right? These things don't, because in the way they do that is they just increase their surface area. In like, that's why it's the same principles as to why your like digestive system is like has all the cilia. It looks like a smooth thing, but really it's like these big long, it's really basically like packed hairs of cellular structures so that you can like absorb things because of surface area.
Well, so in a way, and actually to that point, since this is now the surface.
This podcast sounds like we're fucking high out of our minds. Like, I just want to like make it sound like, but like, dude, like, have you ever considered that like cells can breathe? Like, oh my God. We're not. I promise you we're not. We're just.
No, I don't even smoke. So so if this is what it's like, I get it. What is it though? But yeah, since this is now the surface area episode. So we technically.
Robin, Nick.
And whether this is so we technically do the same thing, but instead of like having a whole bunch of like skin that we just absorb air through, we have our blood vessels. So we bring in the air to our lungs and it distributes it. You know, you have a whole lot of surface area through like your capillaries and everything that goes to it. Instead of letting the air come to you, you bring the air to where it needs to go.
Yeah. And it's that's why there's like. It's something like there is a blood vessel or capillary within like 1 centimeter of every single, potentially smaller, like millimeter of every cell in your body. Like that is the minimum distance where we can like basically diffuse all the stuff we need.
Yeah. And actually for a, maybe to tie this back into aliens and stuff, if you want to, if you like
aliens.
Things like, if you like things like Godzilla and everything, it's the reason why we can never have Mothra is because moths and other bugs like it breathe through essentially these pores that they have.
Yeah.
And they just can't diffuse enough of the air once they're beyond a certain size.
Dude. Okay. If this is the episode where we sound high as fuck, but we're just talking about cool science shit.
Science is great.
Science is really cool. First of all, this one cell organism, it's a class of organisms called Valonia ventricosa, also known as bubble algae or sailor's eyeballs.
Oh.
It looks like this big green fucking ball. It's very weird.
they're very weird.
But it's a unicellular organism. Today, also, I learned about how silk is made, which is like one of the crazy. You want to talk about something that's fucking alien on human Earth? Like, look at a fucking silkworm. They're fucking crazy.
It's been a long time since I've looked them up.
Because, so when they go into, I mean, but this is like, seriously, who listens to this podcast? Unsubscribe.
this is our podcast. You can't listen to it.
No, please don't. Please don't. but silkworms are crazy because, like, you know, you think of any sort of worm. It goes into, it's like a larva, and it goes into a cocoon, and then it becomes like a butterfly or a moth or something, right?
Yeah.
These things, like when they are going to like their cocoon state, they just like barf out a bunch of silk. That's why they're silkworms, right? And then like in between them, in between like the a bunch of goo and silk is a cocoon. And it just looks like this fucking tiny ball of yarn that's just like there. It's just like you can hold it and you'll just like touch it and it just like looks like a fucking ball of yarn. Like, it's so weird. It doesn't, it feels alien, like alien eggs, right?
Yeah.
And what's even weirder to me is that, first of all, they had to get like the cocoon out, to get rid of all the goo part, is they like boil it, right?
Right.
And then they take like a strand of it, and then like a bunch of them, and like kind of like wind them together through like a very small pore and like a bamboo log to like make a strand, which of like string, which is crazy. But like these cocoons are one single strand, so they just like unfurl this dead bug like that they have boiled and turn into string. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's wild.
It's so crazy.
And then they wear it.
Yeah, and then you wear bug skin. You wear bug barf. That's what silk is. Wake up, sheeple.
I could totally see this being like one of those like late night, you know, AM radio stations about like conspiracy theories and aliens and everything.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I just played, by the way, speaking of conspiracy theories?
What's up?
Control. Do you ever play Control?
I love that game.
Oh my God. And I thought of that because there's like all the hidden like recordings of the talk show.
Yeah.
There's like a weird little Easter egg of talk show where it's like KFBPTP with the good stuff. It's time for Conspiracy Theory Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's exactly what I had in mind when I was saying that. So,
yeah.
No, it was a really great game. And what was funny is that I don't know if you read through all the documents that you pick up.
No, I didn't. I didn't look at a single fucking thing because I can't be bothered in those games. I know that lore is deep and I appreciate it. I'm not going to fucking read in
here's
a single thing.
So this is not a spoiler for the game for anyone who hasn't played. But one of the bits of lore that I picked up, there's this one object of power that they keep talking about or whatever, that the Havana one or whatever. And it talks about this event that happened in Havana in Cuba. And it talks about like all these like men, like all these like, you know, brain injuries and stuff that these people were getting from this object.
Yeah,
that maps directly to an actual event that happened a few years ago in Havana.
Really?
Yeah. They don't know. There's theories, but they don't know what caused it. But the fact that they took a real news story and pulled it into a paranormal game like that, like, really suddenly added a lot of depth for me.
Oh, my God. I'm sure. Because, like, the game's lore is based on the... it's not just, like, new... First of all, there's, like, the new weird stuff. But there's the SCP Foundation, which is, like, a fiction thing, right? Where it's, like... They talk about these objects of power that have, and that's, they basically made like a game based on like a fan fiction collaborative online thing.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Like, that's what a lot of it is. Like, the SCP stuff is really, really cool. And it's like all just like creepy posts that, but it has a very specific writing style and, you know, talks about things like objects of power in a similar way, which is really cool. But some of it is also based on real shit too, right? Because there's sort of like all these modern urban legends, I want to say.
Right. I remember there was a, I don't know if the stuff like this is still around, and it must, but I remember when the internet was a lot younger back in the day, there would be like these websites with like random postings of like random fiction and stuff, where especially when you know, not a lot of people had posted to them yet, you'd get like these strange urban legends that people just made up, but there's few of them around at the time, that it almost sounded like people were like finding out about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because like I cannot for the life of me remember the site that I used to read.
Well, like, but, that's sort of the crazy thing about like QAnon, right?
Oh, where, God. Yeah.
Because QAnon is basically an urban legend weaponized against our parents.
Sure.
Because they're basically like, well, actually, did you know I heard that this pizza joint is actually a sacrificial place where Hillary Clinton is? And they're like, what? And then they're like, actually, you know what that means is you should do everything we say. And they're like, you're right, we should. And nobody considers anything other than that. So stupid. Yeah. But
yeah, well, it goes back to the comment you made about pattern recognition, that we're, you know, we're kind of like built to do that well. And the thing is, noticing patterns feels good. And so it plays directly into conspiracy theories, where you start to think you see patterns where they're not. And when you and the figuring out process and making those connections feels good, even though you're wrong.
Right. Right.
So it's kind of like a self-sustaining thing.
And then when someone says you're a fucking idiot, you just dig your heels in. It's like whoever did QAnon basically weaponized human nature against us because of that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And like, if you ever think of, not think of, but did you ever hear of, this is, we're getting more fucking, we sound high out of our minds, man. Cicada 3301. Have you ever heard of this?
That sounds familiar, but you're gonna have to refresh my memory.
I may have talked about it on the podcast, but it's basically, it had a similar cadence to the like QAnon's I have information that will lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton or whatever. But it had this sort of like cryptic thing that someone posted on 4chan, and ultimately people would look into it and find out it was this like weird puzzle that someone posted on 4chan to like get people to try and figure out exactly what it is. And it like was this weird deep cryptography, stenography, data security thing that was a weird elaborate puzzle. And you know, want to talk about conspiracy theories, someone suggested that this was like the people who did probably QAnon were experimenting with what can they do when they were doing this.
Interesting.
Because, and this is all hearsay, I don't want to fucking sure. I'm not trying to red pill anybody, okay? this was on, I mean, there's like some documentaries on it. It was also on, where I heard about it was in Q Into the Storm, because I am fascinated by Q.
That is why it sounded familiar. Yeah, I remember now.
And they talk about it as like, this may have been some of the, you know, prequel to QAnon. And it's like cryptic in a way that stimulates your brain, clearly.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's just fascinating. Anyways, we should review this Oreo, but like, I want to be clear with everybody. We've talked about a lot of conspiracies. I want to reveal what the actual flavor of this Oreo is.
We should just do it. We should tell them.
It's the truth.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there. Are you ready for it? Do you want to say it? Do you want me to say it? I feel like you should say it.
Yeah, you want me to say it?
Yeah, you should say it.
So imagine what I thought I was going to be eating when I saw this beautiful black box with a neon blue Oreo design with like alien symbols on it and everything. I was really excited about it. And I opened it up and it was regular Oreos.
Regular fucking Oreos. It's not like single stuff, regular Oreos. Honestly, I feel like maybe defect Oreos too.
They were like crumbly or different.
They weren't the same. They were like very clearly not as well pressed.
Yeah.
Like, I was low-key disappointed because I was like, oh, what's this weird alien flavor going to be? And I'd be like, ah, it's going to be like some weird fruit that nobody knows, right? Like, that's what Oreo loves to do. Like,
sure.
Going to give me like fucking kumquat Oreos or shit. And I'm going to be like, ugh. But it was just regular Oreos, which is even more disappointing. You know, 10 out of 10 would be prank. I feel like I got pranked, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, totally.
But 10 out of 10 would be pranked again, but also don't prank me again.
So here's how I would do it if I was Oreo. Oreo, if you're listening, please take notes.
Take notes, Oreo.
So first of all, if you're going to have this cool box, the box is great. I love it.
Super cool. They told me to put an Oreo outside, and I did it, and nothing happened.
Yeah, it says it's bringing all life forms together, not for sale, totally for sharing. I'm probably going to end up eating this box by myself, but whatever.
I already did.
Yeah. but like, first of all, that blue color on there, make the cream blue, like space blue or whatever.
Right, like make it, like get weird, right?
Yeah.
Or make the cookies food blue.
Food science question for you.
What?
Is there any safe glow-in-the-dark food coloring dye or whatever?
I have no fucking idea. I bet there is. Did you try to see if these were glow in the dark?
No, I can.
Yeah, check to see if they're glow in the dark. If they're glow in the dark this whole time, 10 out of 10. They're going to A tier. They're glow in the dark.
Wow, that's really cool.
Are they glow in the dark?
Oh my god. Oh my god. No, they're normal.
Oh, fuck. You had me for a second. Here's my conspiracy theory about this Oreo thing. Somebody in the plant fucked up a ton of Oreos, or somebody in the plant made too many Oreos, and they had so many that were going bad. That basically, like, it wasn't necessarily out of code or unhealthy to eat, but their best by date was going beyond where they would be. And so they're like, they all got a bunch of smart people in a room and they said, what the fuck do we do? We're gonna just lose money over this. And some marketing guy who probably shouldn't have been in the room, but God bless him, he was, said, what if we made this? What if we just sold them as like a limited edition thing? And people were like, all right, I'm listening. Like, yeah, it's just a limited edition. We'll get like really cool packaging. We'll be real cryptic and weird about it. We'll say it's like aliens because aliens are in the news. And some, you know, like one of the CEOs was like, that's a great idea. And that's what happened. Like, that's everything that happened because they're regular fucking Oreos, but somehow stale.
So I really like this narrative, but I have a similar one.
Okay.
But the conclusion to both of these is going to be the same thing. So
okay.
I think it was just a Oreo already had their end of the world bunker thing. And then there's this big news about alien stuff coming out. So they're like, what can we do?
Whoa.
Mark.
Yeah. They have an end of the world bunker thing. What is this?
Oh, I think somewhere in like Norway or something, they set up a vault where they stashed all their different Oreos and everything for the future.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, this is a big thing for a little while. I thought we even talked about it on the podcast back. Maybe didn't make it.
Maybe
I don't know.
Forgot about it.
It's fine. I'll never get to go there. But yeah, it is allegedly a real place. I can't confirm that though.
Okay.
But either way, so they have that. Then there's all this news about aliens and stuff coming. So, you know, marketing department's like, hey, why don't we, you know, do an alien Oreo thing? This is the first idea they had. They didn't have flavors ready, which you'd think they'd have like a portfolio of stuff ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the conclusion to both our theories is the same, which is, this is what we're going to greet aliens with. I mean, like, if you have guests over to your house, you want to treat them to something nice.
Not stale Oreos.
Not your stale Oreos. Right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just mad. I wanted it to be something weirder.
Unless they're like 5G Oreos that have chips in them, just like the vaccine.
My cell reception has been better.
Each of my cells have cell reception now.
All of my cells. I'm a giant battery. Well, so I don't know what to give this for a rating, because
how about a D for disappointment?
So it's just I want to say a B because it's a regular okay. fucking Oreo.
Yeah.
But I also want to say a C because they were somehow stale.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I feel like.
Like, and then I want to say a D because they were somehow stale.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there was the hype factor that it didn't quite.
Big letdown.
If we are grading on graphic design ever.
Ooh, amazing.
This is definitely up there. This is probably one of my favorite boxes.
It literally got me to go outside, and that takes a lot. So.
Right. Yeah. We've had like a year and a half of conditioning of not going outside.
I know.
So that's really great. But yeah, this and the Lady Gaga boxes, probably the best graphic design on any of their boxes so far.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really cool. And it says on there, like, not for sale, only for sharing or some shit, which is like interesting. Yeah, yeah. Interesting thing to say about any product that isn't like given as a gift at the Emmys or some shit. Right. Like, it made me feel special.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what aliens want, just to make us feel special.
Maybe they've been looking for us. I can't go anywhere from there.
Like, yeah, we can't talk about that because we're totally normal humans and we don't know anything about that.
Yeah, no, totally. We're like aliens and humans. Maybe we are literal star-crossed lovers looking for each other throughout the galaxy.
Star-crossed lovers with normal human hands. Definitely not tentacles.
All three of them.
All three hands and... well, I think that's the end of the show.
End of the show. We just ended here.
Yeah, we ended here. We're all done.
All done. Come greet us, aliens.
Come say hello, aliens. I don't know how we would talk, but we'll figure it out.
Sure. Oh, it's like contact or something, right? You start through math and figure it out from there.
There's literally, yeah, wasn't it like a linguist or something? I don't remember. I never saw that movie, so I can't remember.
It was a neat concept.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah. But was Carl Sagan involved with writing that?
I don't know, man.
I might be making that part up, but yeah, no, it was pretty good. I like the fact that they use math to help communicate because math is like a universal truth of some sort.
Yeah, right? Like things have there's like a universal law to it. Anyways, my name is Rob, normal human Rob.
My normal human name is Nick.
And we hope you very normal humans go dunk yourself. Get dunked, babies, alien babies. I will. I don't have anything else to say. I don't know, man. It's been... We're talking about alien shit, and I don't know how to end the episode ever, so why would I know it now?
Bleep blorp, here we go, off to space.
Blasting off again.
Thank you for listening to Good Stuff with Rob and Nick. Good Stuff is produced by Rob Mulligan and promotional artwork by Nick Pattens. Good Stuff's theme is composed by Kenny Gray of Mess Infinite. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Good Stuff Podcast. See you next week.